piano special earlier in the ensemble, all that went into this evening. What a wonderful joy it is. And would you get your Bibles open tonight, and we'll get it right into it. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. You're going to find yourself in the spot where the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh follows them out in chapter 14. God opens the Red Sea, and the Israelites are able to come through on dry land, and Pharaoh's army gets covered over there at the end of chapter 14. And in chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. That starts off chapter number 15. And we're going to look in at their first battle after they get out. Not a battle with people, but a battle with themselves. And I can tell you this, as I watch folks and get to help and counsel some in different tough spots of their lives, we give ourselves more trouble than the other people give us. A lot of times we can handle problems from without, but it's the problems within that really sometimes do us in. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22, and we're going to see where the Israelites are preserved from thirst. But they are not preserved from thirst without a lot of complaining and murmuring and bitterness for what they have got to go through. Verse number 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which literally means bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? This is not unlike what they did again and again after this. What shall we eat? What have you brought us out of Egypt and from all the leeks, the onions, the watermelon, the garlic, and now you've left us out here to die? They asked, what shall we drink? He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Verse number 27 says, and then they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And then in chapter 16, we're not going to go further in there, but you'll see if you'd read on further, now they're preserved from hunger, and God starts sending them manna because he wants to protect them and provide for them. But I want to preach a message entitled this evening, Why Marah? You see, Marah was a very bitter place in the Israelites' life. They had just came through a great victory. You talk about a victory, Red Sea crossing, where they thought that they could not. And they were murmuring before they got on the side of the Red Sea. And they asked Moses, what are we going to do here? We're going to die. And God opened it up and he showed himself miraculously strong. It's amazing how quick the Israelites started doubting God and Moses again after they'd just seen the miracle. One of the greatest miracles that had ever been performed by God. They had just not only watched it, but can you imagine walking through the Red Sea on dry land and you're seeing the waters piled up on either side? Does it even begin to seem reasonable that some days after that you'd be complaining when Marah came and you couldn't find any water, and then when you did find it, it'd be bitter? If you just saw your God do that, wouldn't you think he could take care of you over here? Nonetheless, they find themselves murmuring and bitter, and they find themselves about like the water. It was bitter, and as so were they. I'm thinking about people right now, not in a negative way, and I'm not thinking of individuals either, but who are going through hard times. Right now, the bitterness of life is about to overcome you. Right now, the difficulties that you're having, you think, how in the world is God letting this happen to me? I'm thinking of students who they thought this was going to be their senior year. Well, it is their senior year, but they had so many big plans for their graduations, and they had so many big plans for all the things that they were going to do, and they thought that all of the parties and the get-togethers and the fun stuff of a senior year, and they thought all these things were going to happen, and then nothing. I think about people who are, now that their work is furloughed because of the things going on, and now the economy is going to try to get kick-started back. And I think of all the people who are complaining right now, thinking, I just can't believe this is happening to us. I understand tonight that if we're not careful and we look too hard at the things that we're focusing on, and we forget about the God who just led us through the Red Sea, and we allow the problems that we're currently in to consume our thinking, that we'll find ourselves like the Israelites were back in verse number 24, when they asked God, they asked Moses how they were going to get through. We'll find ourselves murmuring against Moses and saying, well, what shall we drink, but how are we going to get through this? Mara had the bitter water that they didn't want to taste and they couldn't drink. Mara's water was certainly not something that would sustain them because they couldn't take it in. And I want to ask you this question this evening. Does your life feel like you're salty? Meaning that the things that are surrounding you, they won't sustain you. I want to preach a message entitled, Why Mara? Lord, help us now is our prayer. Lord, would you reach out to every person that's listening and watching? Lord, I pray that nobody feels like they're exempt, because, Lord, I can guarantee them that they're not. I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. These are God's chosen people. These are not the riffraff. These are not the ones that you say, oh, yeah, of course, they do that. These are God's chosen people. These are the best of the best, so to speak. If we're looking at today, these are the church-going folk. These are the ones that, yeah, we fear God. We understand. We know God. Yeah, we go to this. We do that. We go to church goers. These are the best of the best. They just saw God do something miraculous. Now they're getting over here to Mara and they say, oh, there's water. And maybe like one of those old cartoons where they start taking it, but it's just disgusting. They spew it back out. I don't know how all that worked. But now they get this water, but they can't drink it. Just when we thought we were going to get some relief, and now the water is not fit to drink. Have we heard that one before? Just when I thought I was going to get a little bit of relief, just when I thought this job was going to come through that was going to settle some of the problems, just when I thought things were going to get better, now this. I want to look at tonight, number one, why Mara? Why Mara? In verse number 24, as they said, they murmured, what shall we drink? They asked the question. I heard some time back of a couple that had a little one born at 29 weeks, very early. Lived for about 20 minutes and then passed away. Why would a good young couple have to face that? Heard of a different situations. I won't give you all the ones I've written down, but you fill in the blanks with problem after problem after problem of good people. Oftentimes people ask me, why do good bad things happen to good people? I know what they mean, and I might question to say, are any of us good? And that the answer is no, but I know what they mean. And it sometimes does seem unfair. But I understand also that God says He'll be with us in every situation. He'll be with us as we go through. I wonder about why some families, they had great hopes and great dreams for a young person that was going to go out of there and even do something in the ministry. And God sees fit to take them on to glory instead of let them go and serve Him in a certain way. And it didn't meet our plans. And if we're not careful, then we find ourselves bitter and saying, God, and we're usually too knowledgeable to shake our fist at Him and say, well, God, I just don't understand. And I don't think there's any reason, any wrongness of asking why, as long as we understand that God's got a why. I don't think that God punishes us necessarily for asking, but I think we, at the end of the day, just say, Lord, Your will be done. I wanted to give you a couple reasons of why Mara under this first point. Number one, remember this, God allowed Mara. God could have had him go to Elam first, but He didn't. He had him come against Mara. I wonder sometimes how the Lord works, and could it be that possibly God was just, He put Mara where it was and Elam where it was and the foundations of the world before He was creating this, just so He could see what His people would do when they came to Mara? He said, well, if God had only done it the other way and put Elam first, then they had all that good water. They would have been set. But God wanted to see, I believe, how that they reacted to that. God allowed Mara to come that way. And can I make you understand tonight that the situation that you're in, God allowed it. Curtis Hudson, I think I mentioned this morning, but he used to ask this question, make this statement, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God's got the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He's all the way back there and He's all the way up there. There He has no end or beginning. He knows every little thing about what we're going to go through. He knew this was going to be your senior year, or He knew this was going to be your daughter's senior year, or your son's finishing up his residency, or He knew this was going to happen and that was going to happen. He could have made it any way He wanted to, but He instead chose to put it right now where you are. And I say to you, first of all, that God allowed Mara. He may not have authored some of the things that are going on in your life, because He doesn't tempt any man, nor is He tempted, but He could have stopped anything. And so by virtue of the fact that you've got it, you've got to understand that God allowed Mara. I want to give you the second thing. Not only did God allow Mara, God's got a cure for it. How many of you understand the God that put the salty water there, the springs that were unfit to drink? How many of you understand the same God that put that there is the same one that put the tree on the bush, or the tree on the hillside that Moses was going to bring forth and put in the water? My friend, God put a tree there for your bitter water too. I don't know whether you'll agree to it or not, but God wants us to put the cross of Jesus Christ in every bitter situation that we come up against. The cross makes everything better. As a believer in Christ, when I get consumed with the bitterness that's around me, and I introduce the cross of Christ into my problem, it all of a sudden makes everything look so much different. God made a cure for the bitterness that was there, and He put a tree there for your bitterness, if only we'll apply it. Now let me ask you this, if we do a little lesson, if that water's bitter here, the tree that will make it better is over there, the water's still bitter as long as the tree that will make it better is over there, and we say the bitter water is here, the tree that will make it better is there, I don't want to put the tree in the water. I believe God would let it be bitter the rest of the time. We are in situations that we don't like. We are in problems and bitter situations, and sometimes we are in our bitterness, and we wouldn't be so bold as to say, I don't want help, but sometimes we stay in our bitterness, and people try to show us the way, and they try to introduce help, and they try to introduce Christ to us in that situation, and we instead wallow in that instead of asking the Lord for help. None of us say, well, I want to be miserable. But our actions tell a different story. I see that God allowed Mara, but God made a cure for it. I want to give you this second thing. Number one, why Mara? But number two, I want to tell you this in verse number 25, that in verse number 25 and 27, that God, He said, and the Lord showed Him a tree which He had made cast in the waters, and the waters were made sweet, and there He made the statute, and then verse number 27, and then they came, after that, they came to Elam. God never intended for them to stay in that bitter water of Mara. God never intended them to drink the water. He put the tree there. He put it there, can I tell you this? He put it there, I believe, to give them a chance to trust Him. And my friend, whatever bitter problem you're going through, whatever difficulties that's plaguing you right now, you are on the stand to show those people in your life how you trust the Lord Jesus Christ through this problem. You say, oh, nobody's watching me. Oh, don't be so naive. Nobody cares how I go through this problem. Lots of people do. We may not know who's watching us, but somebody's watching us. And my friend, the problem that you're going through, the difficulties that you're facing, you are being a testimony, either bad or good, to somebody about how you go through a problem. I don't want that pressure. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want them to judge how Christians deal with this based on watching me. Too bad. You are. You will be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, either good or bad, and you can't do anything about it. You say, I don't want that, Brother Herdman. I don't want that, preacher. I don't want to be people looking at me. We can't go back on this. And just like the Israelites couldn't go back on the fact that they were going to be a testimony either to trust God or murmur. And of course, we know how they did. God has left some bitter water for you, I'm sure. Are you trusting Him? The things that are going on in your life, that some of which you don't even want to tell anybody, the bitter waters that you're faced with right now, you've got a choice. Do I trust the tree that God put on the bank beside Mara? Or do I just suffer and sit in the salty or the bitter water? The choice is up to you. The tree is not coming down to the water. I believe they had to throw it in. I see that God never intended Mara to be your defining moment. The waters were made sweet after the Lord showed him a tree, and which when he had cast into the waters, the water were made sweet. I don't have to tell you the connection that I've already alluded to, but the cross of Christ makes all the difference. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. I've already been to the Calvary. Good. You know where it's at then. We need to revisit it again when we're talking about the difficulties that are going on in your life. You say, preacher, my job is so difficult and my situation now is beyond my control. Don't you figure that's about the way the Israelites felt? You don't get much more necessary for life than water. And so to say that the Israelites were between a rock and a hard place would be an understatement. They needed God. The bitterness was going to kill them. And I believe that I've met a lot of Christians who the bitterness has well nigh killed them. Oh, they may still be walking around, but they are so bitter and so almost dead on the inside. My friend, can't you imagine that if God put the tree beside the bitter waters of Mara for the Israelites, God wants you to apply the cross of Christ into your bitter waters and make them sweet so that you can get through and so that you can get by with whatever God has for you. I said, number one, why Mara? Well, I don't know why, but I know God allowed it. I don't know why, but I know God made a cure for it. And I know that God never intended you to stay in Mara. Can I give you this third one out of verse number 27? They came to Elim. Can I tell you this? Number three, Elim stood ready for them. They were murmuring and complaining and backbiting each other probably while Moses is dragging that tree down from the hillside. Somebody, I'm sure, said, well, this is not going to work. Everybody knows that wood doesn't make water less salty. Everybody knows that these springs aren't going to make good by bringing a tree. If that had been the case, they'd have been bringing trees into water years ago. It's amazing how people have never done anything always like to tell you how to do it. Don't you love that? They've never had your job at your work where you manage people, but they can tell you how they ought to do it. They've never been in your situation where you're a mother trying to be a raise your children, trying to be the mom and the dad as a single mother, but somebody's going to tell that single mother, that sweet mother, how to do it. And I imagine there were some of them telling Moses why this wasn't going to work. And they were complaining. But all the time they were doing that, and then they get some refreshment, some nourishment. It's amazing how sometimes, like children, you have to drag people to obey the Lord. But after they got that, the Bible says, after that, verse number 27, they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water. 9.3 miles away from where Mara is, Elim sat. Less than 10 miles away, after they got a good, nice drink after that tree went in the water, less than 9.5 miles away from Mara was Elim. 12 wells of water, palm trees, a regular old resort was right there for them to gather around. They were 9.3 miles away, and they were close, so close, to letting Mara kill them. You can't live without water. They were 9.3 miles away from death. if they hadn't trusted the Lord as the tree got put in the water to resuscitate them and get them ready for the travel of 9.5 miles down where God had Elam ready for them. God, I believe, just wanted them to trust Him through Marah, and then He had Elam ready for them. Can I tell you that some of the sweetest days in your life are right after you trust God through some of the sourest days of your life? Some of the greatest blessings of God that could come upon you are when you trust Him through some of the most bitter times of your life. But if we can take that as an analogy and put it to today, can I just tell you this? There's a lot of people who don't ever get to leave Marah and find Elam 9.3 miles away. They never get to a place where they experience Elam because they give up at Marah. Many folks quit right before that second wind comes in. They say if you're out there running, especially if you're trained to some degree, you get tired, and that second wind kicks in. A lot of people kick out right before that kicks in. If Marah is 9.3 miles that way, and Elam is just down the road, wouldn't it make sense that you trust God through Marah and you spend your days in Elam? If you don't get to Elam, then you don't get to where the manna is, because that's going to come after Elam. If you don't trust God through Marah, then you don't get to the resort living at Elam. I told several people tonight, I tried to text some folks to pray and told the folks in the auditorium here to pray that God would help us, because I see so many folks who are burdened down with bitterness in their lives. I'm not just talking about church folk, although those ones as well. I mean people in life. Always quick to tell you how rough their life is and how bad it is and how they're never going to survive and how they can't make it through and it's not fair and it's not my fault and it's if so-and-so hadn't done this, then I wouldn't be here. You know what that sounds a lot like? And I'm not being unkind to them. I'm just saying that sounds like a lot of us are going through Marah. And I'm not belittling Marah. If the Israelites hadn't found the help from Marah, then they probably couldn't have made it to Elam. But Marah was on the way to Elam. And I'm asking you tonight, if you'd back that U-Haul truck up from Marah and drive it over to Elam, where the springs of water are there, you've survived what God has allowed to come into your life. Don't let it define you. Don't let Marah ruin you. Instead, be the one that drinks at the water of Elam. I was at a pastor's fellowship in Dayton, Ohio. And so as we're getting ready to close the service, I saw one of the sweetest things I've ever seen. An aged pastor with hair as white as that outside that Japanese flag was walking down the aisle. And before he got all the way down the aisle, there were some ladies in the room as well. An elderly lady stood up and started walking the other way. And this pastor, who was supposed to be heading up the ending of the service, walked the wrong way instead of going to the pulpit. Walked the wrong way to go chase or to walk, not run chase, but walk chase the elderly lady that got up. He caught up with her. He put his arm around her and he turned her and he walked back down. And we got down to the front right here, if this were the auditorium. He got a microphone and dismissed the end of the service with little or no explanation about the lady that he went down the aisle to chase after. But afterwards, I found out that was his wife. And some months or years before, her health had deteriorated so, her mind rather, had deteriorated so that he was needed at pretty much every instance. If he wouldn't keep a close eye on her, or the family didn't keep a close eye on her, then she'd wander off somewhere in the neighborhood, or if he would be there at the church, if he didn't keep a close eye on her, then she'd be out in the street in front of the auditorium. And I thought, as my heart broke, he's a faithful man. He's a good man of God. And I thought how easy it would be for a preacher to say, Lord, I can't build a church with this burden or this necessity that's been placed on me. God, I can't build a church if I'm having to chase my wife down and because of her mental state not be able to function without me. God, I thought about how easy it would be for that person to get him, that pastor, good man of God, to get bitter and just say, Lord, why'd you do this? I've been faithful. And he has. I've been faithful for decades. Why'd you do this? But I sat back on that side. And a tear came down my cheek because I saw this tender man of God just have his arm around his sweet wife. Not minding at all the fact that without him, she had no quality of life and wasn't able to do what others could do. And knowing that he wasn't the pastor that he needed to be, or that he wanted to be, I should say, if he had to take the burden of his wife. But I could tell by the tenderness in his voice that he didn't mind. I believe that he was drinking from the water of Elam. I believe he had passed the bitter stage of Marah, and he wasn't allowing it to define him. I believe that he was thinking, instead of how much of a burden this is, I think he was thanking God as he had his arm around her that this was the mother of his children. This was the one that when her mind was good, she was his good secretary. And that she had done so much at the church. And I think that he had bypassed Marah some months before then. And I believe that he was drinking from the sweet water of Elam. Because on his face I saw joy as he loved on his little wife. And on his face I saw happiness, not bitterness. And then as I got to talk to him afterwards, and he talked to her in many ways like you would talk to a child. But he just conversed with me and talked with me and her, and it was just a beautiful thing. But friends, I believe that God would want you and I to not be defined by Mara. I don't know what's happening in your life. Your education is not what you expected. Your marriage is not what you expected. The dry spell and this, that, or the other area of your life, it's not what you expected. Perhaps you're in Mara right now tonight. I can tell you from this passage that Mara was fixed by the tree that they cast into the waters. And the Mara that you're facing is going to be fixed when we apply the cross to the situation that we're facing. And that Elam is there, 9.3 miles for the taking. Why do we have trouble in sickness and betrayal and thievery and why Mara? I don't know why, but I know that God allows it. And I know that many of us will be sidelined in life because God doesn't answer a question the way we wanted it answered. But my friend, God didn't make you to stay in Mara. May we get to Elam where He wants us to be. The water is sweet there. The memories are to be made there. Why Mara? I don't know. But it's certainly on the way to Elam. I'm asking you to get to Elam tonight. Would you bow your heads together? Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, my good friends that are listening tonight, many from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and some from other churches that are just joining us, and I'm thankful for them all. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us not to camp out in Mara, where the bitterness and the murmuring and the complaining and the difficulties are. Lord, I pray we'd pack up and move on to Elam. Let you fix the water where we're at and go on from here. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, dear Lord, not be defined by the Mara, the bitterness, the difficulty, the problems. Lord, so many good people I meet, they're just overwhelmed. Lord, they're overcome, and I think sometimes they don't know how to apply the wood, the cross, to their problem. Lord, would you give them grace to do it tonight? And would you help them, dear Lord, make the 9.3-mile journey over to Elim. Let them get enough sustenance where Mara is by applying the cross to their bitter waters, and then help them travel to Elim where the wells are and the palm trees and the refreshment of God. Lord, help us, I pray. She's playing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the cares of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. My friend, would you turn your eyes upon Jesus? Trust Him. In the bitterness, the difficulties you're going through today, trust Him. If you need somebody to pray with, our phone lines are open, 423-477-3311. 477-3311. Or maybe you need to email prayer@brbc.us. As she continues to play, would you just have a little altar call yourself there? Don't turn it off yet. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting and moving upon you, would you respond? Maybe you're here tonight, you're watching tonight, and you're unsaved. I didn't preach on that. But you know your life is in a mess, and you know something needs to be done. My friend, Jesus Christ is the answer to what you're looking for. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, would you think about this, that Jesus came to be your Savior, to die for your sins, and He wants to save you? Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone? If you need help, our phone number again is 477-3311. Would you turn your eyes upon Jesus? I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray for us. As he prays, I want you to pray. Lord, help me not to stay in Mara. In the bitterness in my life, help me to go on.
Father, we do thank you tonight for how good you are. Thank you for this message and the powerful truth that's been presented for us. Lord, we all need this now and at all times in our lives. Lord, we are either at a Mara moment or we know someone who is. And Father, I pray that you would take this truth and Lord, that you would soothe the hurts of many tonight who may have been tuning in. Lord, I pray that those of us who have drunk at both places, tasted the bitter waters and come to find the sweet waters of Elim, that we would do our best to take others on the journey from Mara to Elim. Lord, that we would take this message that the cross can cure all bitter places. Father, I pray you take this and use it. I pray for our church family, Lord, with whatever they're facing, whatever they have before them this week. Lord, I pray that they would go with a song in their heart as we have had a wonderful church service tonight. And Lord, I pray that they would take these truths, these thoughts that have been presented in song and message, and Lord, that you take them and use them to encourage us to go forward. Use us to touch lives this week, I pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you soon.